Reformation of Ummah, Ummah. Reformation of Ummah, Ummah. Reformation of Ummah, Ummah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya wal Mursaleen, Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad, wa ala alihi وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله الحمد لله رب العالمين It is only through the grace and mercy of Allah عز وجل we are once again back same time same place on your Madani channel Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Together with our honorable, beloved Ziyad Madani Hafidhahullah, we say welcome to one and all. We are present and hazir here from Durban, South Africa, coming to you live, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And we have a very important discussion as the theme of our program is to, of course, highlight and mention the things that has affected our society. In fact, issues that have affected us globally throughout the world. And Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, we try and give some sort of motivation, enthusiasm, and in the light of Quran Pak and blessed ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we do discuss these matters in order to find salvation from these difficulties of life, dear viewers. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. We thank Allah Azza wa Jalla who has given us this lifetime and this opportunity to repent and become humble servants in His bargah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us our sins. And for all those who are watching Madani channel at this very moment, let's commence with a beautiful hadith. رسول اکرم نور مجسم شاہ بنی آدم احمد مختار صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم has stated in a beautiful hadith, the person who recites 500 times درود and salawat upon me, Allah Kareem will remove his destitution.
Subhanallah.
His poverty and his poorness shall be removed through the blessings of reciting درود and salawat. It's time to stop thinking, and rather it is time for you from the depths of your heart to recite درود and salawat upon محمد رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم الحمد لله مولانا صاحب how has the day treated you today
الحمد لله رب العالمين beautiful day as always الحمد لله
الحمد لله so for those who don't know مولانا صاحب mashallah actually comes from Jamia al-Madina alhamdulillah daily and all the way from the Jamia teaching children educating them mashallah who are becoming ulama of the deen And Mawlana Sahib from the Darsgah, mashallah, in between whatever work is needed. And then Mawlana Sahib then comes straight to the studio. And we're honored to have Hazrat once again with us. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Mashallah. We get to the end of the program in this way that we are able to extract some valuable lessons.
Ameen.
And some Madani pearls in order to overcome our situations of life.
Ameen.
So is it possible for Mawlana Sahib maybe to answer one quiz question that we have?
Marhaba. I like that.
Mawlana Sahib loves challenges. I noticed that, mashallah.
Alhamdulillah.
You often take challenges. Frequently, okay. Can Mawlana Sahib tell me that what is that one thing which is one of the essentials of life without which life becomes very difficult?
Okay, I don't think there's just one essential of life. I think there's quite a few different essentials of life. Among the most essential things in the worldly life is, well, air.
Right.
We need that to breathe or else we can't function. Water. We require that for survival. Mm. Food is a necessity. Shelter is a necessity, family, alhamdulillah, and there's many other consumables that we have that do become part of our essentials. I think a lot of the consumables that we have, even if we look towards our shelter, our food, many times our water as well, we do require money to buy that. So I would say money also becomes among the essentials of life. So there are quite a few essentials of life. So many of them are free, but many of them are purchased.
Yes, yes, very true. Well, what Mawlana Sahib just mentioned?
I say many are free, but many are purchased as well.
Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. Some who have some addictions direct their essentials to those addictions, such as
yes.
you know, eating things, substance, for example,
mm.
That are damaging to the health. Some say that you cannot live without that. That's essential for them. However,
Allah
another Allah. Wide guess, Mawlana, do you think, can it be?
Money?
Subhanallah. yes, Hazrat, money matters. And this is our discussion for this evening for those, mashallah, who are looking at the screen at the very moment, mashallah.
Right.
So you think it's money, Mawlana?
All right.
Can
yes.
you lock it up?
Yes.
Yeah.
From those we
From
can...
amongst the most important essentials of this life, everybody needs money to survive. So
it's true.
The question is, does money matter in one's life, or are we discussing money matters in general, Mawlana?
I think we're going to discuss matters related to money, but I think our viewers would agree with us on this. Money does matter. If you don't have it, there's a lot of difficulties you
so
do go through.
There are two ways to look at money matters, right?
Right, Allah definitely. Allah.
So, okay, one thing we have established, that money does matter.
Yes.
If you have money, we have things that you could do in life.
Mm-hmm.
And discussing money matters in general, situations related to money itself and
right.
what money can do, what money can buy, and what money can damage at the same time. This is a very vast discussion, and trust me, there are many viewers of Madinah Channel out there who are probably right now watching this beautiful program, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, with the niyat of rectification and reformation.
Alhamdulillah.
And this is the entire, we would say, ideology and idea of this program that
yes.
we have set, that through this program we are able to rectify ourselves. And this is the mission and the slogan of Dawood Islami in general, to dear viewers, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So, Mulana Sahib, money matters, and
right.
there's so many matters related to money itself.
Absolutely.
We all need money in this dunya, Ya Sayyidi.
Mm.
And we have come to a planet where we all have come to understand that this is alami asbab. It's a
yes.
world of means. You need things to connect in order for things to happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
And since we have come here, it cannot be like life in Jannah.
Right.
You know, when you think of the water, it's presented to you. Think of food, it's just going to come to you like that. You have clothes that doesn't become dirty. Alhamdulillah,
wow.
Rabbil Alameen. You don't have pain and taklif in Jannah. This is the world where a person is tested. And in such a place where you are going to be tested, it is the natural tendency of man that he is never motivated towards guidance.
Mm.
Right? And adding factors to this that doesn't allow for a man to move towards guidance and towards things that pleases Allah Azza wa Jalla in this dunya, in this planet, because this is the planet where things are made difficult to see.
Mm.
Which option do you choose? And what makes it difficult, another adding factor to this is money. It is wealth. And the more abundance a person has, it can actually make it difficult for him, right? So money is essential from one angle, that we need to survive. We need to make our families sustainable, and they should continue enjoying their lives, right? But how do we have this balance, Ya Sayyidi, where we have come in this dunya, and our maqsad of creation is to please Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah created humans and jinns for His ibadat.
SubhanAllah.
And SubhanAllah, this is the ayat of the Holy Quran. At the same time, we have to make money. And making money isn't easy. We see people spending 9, 10, 15, 20 hours in a day, months,
mm-hmm.
weeks, years away from family, trying to make that money, trying to earn that money in order to give their family a good future.
Right.
Good life. And I think in between this balance, everything becomes imbalanced, Mawlana, because it's very hard
yes.
to create the balance between pleasing your Rabb Allah Azza wa Jalla for the purpose of our existence. On the other hand, earning money in order to sustain your family.
Right.
And it comes back to the same point. Money matters, Mawlana.
Absolutely.
At the same time, G.
Actually, money does matter in the sense that we do require it for survival. I don't think there's necessarily the love for money itself in everyone's heart. Rather, people tend to have love for different comforts within the world. It's just that money becomes that means to be able to purchase those comforts, and sometimes actually to purchase the needs that we do have as well. So money is there. It's just a means to be able to fulfill our needs.
Mm.
And sometimes it's a means to be able to fulfill our desires and purchase those comforts that we do desire so much as well. However, you do look towards people of the previous times, and I take lesson from them as well.
Right.
The people of previous times, they would work as well.
Hmm.
Otherwise, how are they going to earn? So they too earn money, whether it be dirham or dinar, whether it be like in South Africa, it's rands, you know, the currency of South Africa, and different places will have different currencies, but it's all wealth, it's all money at the end of the day. So people would work previously, they'd work a few hours of the day, 5 hours, 6 hours of the day, for example, and throughout the week they'd work in that way. But the majority of their time was actually spent not just in earning. And therefore you'd find that they had time to be able to be with their families. They had time to be able to learn ilm al-deen, because the focus of their entire life wasn't just earning wealth. They understood that this is only the means to be able to survive, to be able to move forth in life, to be able to continue my life on this planet This is my family, that they continue their lives on this planet. So Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, that's how they took it.
Why did they do it that way? What they had in their heart that allowed for them to just make money for the day and for the hours, and
because
never be concerned for what's going to happen tomorrow?
Right, because they believe that I didn't just come here for the purpose of making money. I came here for a greater purpose. I came here to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I came here to fulfill the huquq that I'm supposed to fulfill.
Fine,
to fulfill
the rights. I agree on that.
And when it came to, let's say, living within the dunya, that I came here, I'm living within the dunya, I need to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have certain needs, therefore I'm working. But I don't need to work so hard that I hoard so much that can sustain me for the next month. Why? Because the Rabb who fed me yesterday is feeding me today. And the Rabb who is feeding me today will feed me tomorrow. I only need to strive so hard. And then I need to go back to my ibadat, go back to fulfilling the rights of my family, back to learning ilmadeen, teaching ilmadeen. And alhamdulillah, they gave priority to these things because their tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was strong. They knew that Rabb Azza wa Jal is going to sustain me. I only need to put in this certain amount of effort. In today's time, we see sort of vice versa happened. That means we are striving so hard, making that the priority, the earning, the priority in our lives. And therefore, you find that out of the hours of wakefulness, majority of that hours actually goes in striving to make money. And here's the sad part. Majority of the hours of the of our lives, of our wakefulness goes in striving to make money. And the balance is going to work, coming back from work. There's a little bit left. And in that little bit left, that little time left, even if we're with our families, or we're eating, or we're drinking, or we, unfortunately, sometimes even whilst people are in ibadah, they are busy thinking and planning and plotting how I can make money tomorrow. What else can I do in order to make money? So our entire life, hours of wakefulness, has now surrounded money matters.
So whether a person came for 50 years in his world, 60 years, 70 years, 80 years.
It's very sad. I think it's difficult to say.
Like spending an entire life chasing one thing wrong.
Yes. It's all the hours of wakefulness just spent in chasing that one thing. Yes, maybe there's an hour or two in a day that somebody doesn't really think regarding that. But if you look at 8 hours of work, 10 hours of work, 12 hours of work that people are going through, and then a few more hours in wakefulness, plotting and planning and thinking and checking this and checking that in order to be able to earn more. It's pretty much all of our wakefulness that we spend in planning money, making money, and the little while that we sleep is so that we can rest and then tomorrow we can wake up and make more. But unfortunately, this, you know, although this became the purpose of many people in life, that's not really the purpose in life. The reality and the purpose of life is to please our Creator Azza wa Jalla. So what we're supposed to do is, we are actually supposed to be focusing the majority of this life on fulfilling the purpose of this life. And yet, we have dedicated the majority of this life of looking after the comforts, and now we're looking for 1 hour and looking for 2 hours in the day to do ibadah. How come people could sit in masajid previously from this time to this time? This is my tilawa time, I sit in the masjid. How come people had time for ilmadeen? They had time to be able to learn ilmadeen. In today's time, it's such that if we want to learn ilmadeen, we are searching for the time. We're looking, where can I squeeze a little bit of time in order to get 1 hour a day or half an hour a day so that I can learn something? I mean, on a Jumu'ah, it's difficult for many people to spend half an hour or 1 hour to learn ilmadeen from the khutbah. This is how we've strayed from that which actually matters. And we've made money matter, and thus our matters have fallen apart.
How foolish is man, Mullah?
Really?
Who chases money and who's after his money, not knowing that, you know what? People who plan their retirement, almost every person who's working, who looks for a job, everyone wants to know, okay, when I reach 60, when I'm 50, what happens then? Am I still going to be working? Am I never going to be retired? Can I finally enjoy my last years of my life with my family, going for holidays and vacation, so on and so forth? People have this mindset, Mulana.
Right.
It's a made mindset from childhood that you're going to find a job, or you're going to open a business, or you need to gain some profession that would earn you that, so that when you're in your 40s and 50s, your house is paid up for, your children are all self-sufficient and self-sustained, for example. They're not going to be dependent on you. They are born as millionaires in the family, you know. And these are the things, Mulana Sahib. I believe in my area, like for example, this masjid where we are close, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, can be filled with people who don't even need to go to work every day.
Wow.
I think like this. Sometimes I think about it, you know. Why am I looking for musallis? Where are the musallis? And yet, in our street, we have people, in our vicinity, we have people who can attend 5 daily prayers without any difficulty because their businesses are controlled by others. And they are just sitting at home and they're actually planning which country to visit next, which place to go next. And weeks and months and years are spent like this. So they treat the masjid just as a busy man treats it, though they are retired.
Right.
Just as an employee needs ijazah to go and perform salah, this businessman who's the boss, though he doesn't need to ask ijazah from any person, but he has bound himself to the hours restricted himself from Allah's ibadat. And it's money again. Anyways, Mawlana Sahib, so these are money matters which has really ruined people, Hazrat. You know, and the concern as to what do I leave behind for my children? How does a person navigate through this part of it, Mawlana Sahib? Because at the end of the day, the pressure is, when I leave this dunya, I don't want to leave my children begging, stretching their hands out to other people. So I'm not saying that every person is chasing money in the dunya. Aisa zaruri nahi hai ki har banda paise hi ke piche bhag raha hai. Illa mashallah. And to some extent, I'm not even saying they don't have tawakkul and trust upon Allah Azza wa Jalla. But these questions, you know, raises questions in your heart and mind. As to then where has the tawakkul gone? Because many a times, many proposals are turned down because of these cases. And that is, the job is not in place as yet. No, the salary is not too high as yet because the demand is going to be a lot from this side. So money does matter. But though we know money cannot buy happiness, why are people sad most of the time then?
Allahu Akbar. I think people haven't focused on that which actually brings happiness. The contentment of the heart, the happiness of the heart, that lies in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not just in wealth. However, people have, you know, made this the focus of the life, wealth. And sometimes we do have the situation that we've earned enough for us, but now we are earning for our children. We're earning to leave behind this and we're earning to leave behind that. Once there was a pious personality and people asked him that, why is it that you... what have you left behind for your children? Have you left behind big sums of money? Have you left dirham or dinar, the gold and silver for them? How are they going to manage? How are they going to survive after you? And he gave a very, very beautiful answer that, and it's something that we can learn from, you know, some words of wisdom that if they are muttaqi, if they are pious, if they are parhezgar, if they are those people who have the tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to sustain them. Most definitely, Allah Azza wa Jal will look after them. They have their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if they are disobedient to Allah Azza wa Jal, then why should I leave wealth for someone who disobeys my creator? Wow, what a mindset. And this is the mindset that we do need to have. Alhamdulillah, it's not impermissible for you to leave for your children. But that shouldn't be the prime purpose in our life, that we work 30, 40, 50 years, day and night, not giving them any time so that we can leave some wealth for them when we leave the dunya. Rather, we need to leave our children with good akhlaq. We need to leave behind muttaqi children. We need to leave behind children who have a close bond with the Islam, with their way of life, with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, people who have attained qurb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, closeness in the court of their creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we leave such children behind, actually, you see, we think we need to leave investments for our children, whilst our children are investments for us. They're investments for us because the pious, the person who leaves behind the pious child who will raise their hands and make dua for him after he passes away, as per the blessed hadith of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, such a person will be receiving thawab even after they leave the dunya. So this is the mindset that we need to have. Instead of just thinking, I need to leave wealth behind for them, I need to leave them as capable, strong human beings,
what a beautiful lesson.
Good personalities for society, good leaders for society, towards the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, when you have that sort of mindset, you're going to leave behind capable children. I've seen people that will leave wealth behind for their children, and they worked very hard for that. They worked extremely hard and the children lasted within moments. So we left that which we thought would last them the lifetime and they finished it in a year or two. If we left them to be capable themselves, inshallah they will earn, Allah will feed them. So our focus needs to shift a little bit. It's not, when it comes to children especially, it's not the money that matters. It's the child themselves that matters.
Subhanallah, making them capable of that.
Absolutely.
Wonderful thing you have said, Mawlana Sahib, alhamdulillah. Achha, another aspect we look at, right? Is that when money becomes a priority in person's life,
right?
And when money becomes everything, the respect of parents are not more than money any longer. Time, because look, that firstly, a person is already exhausted trying to get to that money. 8-9 hours a day in the month, there's 30 days, Mulana. There's 365 days in a year. A person spends 15, 20, 30 years in a company doing one thing. every month I need this package.
Mm.
And then you sell your hours. In order for that hours to be sold, you are buying cash.
Mm.
You are given hard money through which you run your family. And then Maulana Sahib, for many people who see shortcuts in life, they resort to things, that same money, that same wealth. Until you did not have it, you did not go towards guna. But when that same wealth becomes excessive, Ya Sayyidi, then a person now becomes greedy. And then when he has the taste of having money, there are many people who were there in life, yes. right? And when they came there, this changed the akhlaq. I was not there. How come? I mean, I was not right down there. They can't believe this happening to them. And when they're there again, it's a test of life, Mulana. And again, we notice and we see that they have changed. It changes their mizaj, changes their akhlaq, changes their habits. They become different people in society just because of money itself.
Yes.
Then some Mulana Sahib resort to gambling to make shortcuts in life. It's just that money. Allah, I want that money so I could do this, I could do that. So some would gamble, some would play some other sort of games. Some would risk their businesses, shortcuts of life, and do such deals that would put the entire family into risk just to get there. So many that were there because of such risk went right down to the ground. There was no need for them to take those risks and measures in life. But they did it because, what if I can make it? What if I'm one of those who did it? Out of 10 people, one didn't, was successful in doing it. So others found that they should follow pursuit, you know, and let's try this. Maybe it worked for me, it'll work for me. I have met people, Mulana Sahib, who had hundreds of thousands of rands in this currency, right, that we live in. And I met a person who said to me that my son blasts 300 to 400,000 a day.
Allah.
It takes me months and months to make that money, and he could blast it just in a day over things which are not even important. So once you live that lifestyle and to keep up with that lifestyle, it's very hard to go to the next level, Mahasab. Not on a higher level, it's for a person to downsize in words.
Right.
So we have seen people unable to make it in life because of downsizing. And this compromises with the clothes that you wear, with the smile that you may have on your face, with the way you live your life, with the things that you eat and you provide for your family. So what we notice is that everybody cannot just be rich, Mulana. If a person is poor, it is the insaf and the justice of Allah Azza wa
Jalla.
If a person is rich, it is the mercy of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala.
Subhanallah.
And now, but every person, whether rich or poor, wants to be rich. This is everyone's objective in the dunya, that hum sab paise wale hi hona cha rahe, yet we cannot see what's in our taqdeer, whether it's meant to be average, poor or rich. But the aim of every person is to be rich. Some make it, some do not make it, depending on taqdeer.
Whereas actually speaking, that same wealth that we have was just the initial purpose of it was to fulfill our needs.
Yeah.
And if those needs are fulfilled, then alhamdulillah, they are fulfilled. It's our way is supposed to be such. See, we strayed and we need to recognize that we strayed so that we come back to it, back to the right path. Our main purpose is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to do ibadah, to earn our jannah, the everlasting happiness. All right? That's our main purpose. This earning and receiving wealth and so on is just the fulfillment of our needs. At the beginning, that's how it is. It is like that. It's just the fulfillment of our needs. But the unfortunate thing, is once the needs are fulfilled, desires grow. Once we fulfill those desires, more desires grow. You see, the belly doesn't get full. When we're saying belly, just, you know, we're thinking it's just the stomach. We're speaking about the appetite of insan.
Sure.
The appetite of insan cannot be fulfilled. It cannot be full. That means you give it one morsel, it'll demand two more. You give it two, it'll demand more. You give it a vehicle, it'll demand a better vehicle. You give it a house, it'll demand a mansion. You give it a mansion, it'll demand a palace. It's like that.
As the Prophet said, except for the sand.
It's only the sand of the qabr that will fill the belly of insan. So human beings, we are like this. That unfortunately, we do have this appetite. We need to be able to hold on and to control that appetite in such a way that subhanallah azza wa jalla, that when I have less, I can still manage. Wow. When I have more, I can still manage. That's where people say that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses you with more as well, don't just raise the standard of living, raise the standard of giving. Heard the saying? It's a beautiful saying. It's because if you just raise the standard of living, the day that things fall, you fall as well. It shouldn't affect us so much. Therefore, you find our pious predecessors especially, and subhanAllah, up to today people do so, that even with wealth, they still choose lives of simplicity. And people look down on that why are you living a simple life when you've been blessed with so much? They understood the nature of money. They understood that today it's here, tomorrow it's gone. When it goes, I don't want it to be a shock. It mustn't shock my family that, see, now we don't have, now you've gone to simple lifestyles whilst you were extravagant previously. Rather, if they kept it simple throughout, when it comes, they are simple. When it goes, they are simple. It's like nothing happened. Just breeze came and it brought it, and breeze came and it took it. Life should go on.
Wow, wow. Have you met people who, I met a person who mentioned to me, Tabriz, I have been created to make money. He mentions that, you know.
I feel very sad for people like this who say, you know, I've been created for money. I've been created to make money. I'm born to make money. Because that's all.
Sad.
Like that's such a, it's such a small purpose that you have. I can tell you that we've been created to worship Allah. We've been created to serve the court of our Rabb subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be servants in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have big purposes. Why are we settling for small things? Why are we settling that we've just come here in order to earn? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the entire dunya to serve us. Allah ta'ala has created us to be servants in His court, azza wa jalla. So it shouldn't be our mindset that I've come here in order to make money. The purpose is too small. It's too futile. Do we think that that's it? That's why we came here. We came here to make some money, to eat, to drink, to make merry and go. No, no. We have bigger purposes.
No, but still want to take pension then.
Yeah.
Pensionlessly
added. We add the pension and we add this and that. I heard a beautiful saying as well that the only wealth that is ours is that which we send forth for the akhirah.
Yes.
Why? Because when we go into the akhirah and we see that that wealth is still there and it's staying with us, meaning in the form of thawab we are earning and the pleasure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants the believers in Jannah, that is yours. Otherwise, the rest actually belongs to your heirs. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked his sahaba ikram once that, is it a wise person that he loves the wealth of his heirs more than his own wealth? So he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who can love the wealth of his heirs more than his own wealth? Huzur Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned to the ashab regarding that that wealth that comes in that you have within the dunya, this is the wealth of your heirs, because you're going to leave it behind if it remains. You're going to leave it behind, but we've seen that it's such that we don't even have certainty that it will remain. Sometimes we have today, and I think every viewer knows someone. Right? So we're not picking on any specific person. It's just the nature of the world. Wealth comes today, it goes tomorrow. We've seen the very wealthy becoming poor overnight, and we've seen the very poor becoming wealthy overnight. We don't mean exactly overnight, over one night, but within short spaces of time. The nature of wealth is like this.
Okay.
The nature of wealth is like this.
Another question, Maulana Sahib. People often ridicule or they would mock or hurt the feelings of a poor person. Some feel that, you know, it's a disgrace to be amongst poor people. Some feel that, you know, this is a very embarrassment for me to be a poor person. And they feel shy to expose their poverty or their situations of life. And of course, it is not something which is pleasing and something that a person will go announcing, I'm a poor person, right? However, people try to hide the wealth, and in between you are trying to make wealth. Nobody wants to expose and show, look, I'm a millionaire, I'm a billionaire, right? Everyone is chasing wealth, but we show the wealth through the things that we wear, through the things that we drive. In general, people don't want to show your bank balance. That's how much that I've got, right? But at the end, everyone's maqsad is one thing, I want to make money in this dunya. Take care. And we take nothing and we go. So we have often seen that actually, you have come to benefit from that money and you're only going to use that money until you live, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's never going to do any benefit unless you invested that money for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla, for your akhirah, sadqa jariyah. Very few people are actually motivated towards this. A lot of people make niyyah. If I get wealth, I will build one masjid. If I get wealth, I will build one madrasa. If I get wealth, I will build
mashallah, mashallah.
Very good to make niyyah. Many people who ask Allah for this dua, Mola, change my life and I, Ya Allah, I will turn towards you. Change my life and I will build this and do that. But very few of us understand, Mahasab, that this is the trap of shaitan that we're asking for. I'm not saying don't ask for money. Because when money was invented, when the first dirham dinar was invented and made, Mulana, shaitan, Iblis, who's your enemy, my enemy, and everyone's enemy, Mulana, he had placed this upon his eyes. He kissed it. He showed affection towards it. And he kissed it and said, now I have found a way to get to insan. I need to make him my slave. Allahu Akbar. So as you look at it, Mulana, today sons are murdering their fathers for properties, for bank balance, for business, for paisa. Today women are asking for talaq from their husbands because I cannot have a good life as I assumed I would have had with you. If only you could provide this, any extras more than the wants and the needs, right? It's because of money brothers are killing each other. It is because of money there's so much of chaos. There is so much of destruction on this planet, Mulana. It is money, it is power. You can only be powerful when you have money, Mulana. And countries are down each other's throat because of money, because of wealth. So we are sitting in a situation where We all need the money, but with at the same time, using that money, we should not become greedy.
Mm.
It's like saying, go in the ocean, don't get your clothes back, please. Allahu Akbar. Everybody wants money and wants to open a business that shows him million, but I'm not going to get greedy. So it's like testing your nafs. Why do you want to put your nafs to test? Why don't we just say, Ya Allah, Azza wa Jalla, give us that which is going to be beneficial and enough for us?
Subhanallah. Yes, yes.
This is something we should ask for, Mawlana.
Absolutely. Contentment with that which Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us. And there you ask for that which is sufficient. Mawlana Sahib mentioned about how people are, they're ashamed of poverty.
Mm.
People who don't have much, then they're ashamed of that. They don't want anyone to know. They want to hide away. I just think that with regards to that, mashallah, if Allah Ta'ala blessed you with wealth, subhanallah azza wa jalla, that's a rahmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But those who are in poverty as well, don't think that that's not rahmah as well. That could be rahmah as well. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, among his titles, he's known that people, recite salawat on Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's muhibbul fuqara'i wal ghuraba'i wal masakin. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the one who loves those who are fuqara, those who are poor, those who are ghuraba, those who are, people consider them strange, that they are strangers to society. He loves them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he loves the masakin, those who are so poor, even they might not even know where the next meal is going to come from. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mahabba and love, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose to be among such people. On Yawm al-Qiyamah as well, there are hadith in which it is mentioned that those who lived in the dunya without much, that they were fuqara, they were poor, they will enter Jannah a long time before, as per some narrations, 500 years before. Those people who had a lot to account for. So, don't lose hope that, I don't have much in dunya. We didn't come here for dunya. We came here for akhirah. So why are we stressing that I have little in dunya? We don't have to be where we think we have to be in order to be successful. Our main success and our major success actually lies in the afterlife, not only within the dunya.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Another question many people ask, how much is enough, Mawlana? We should just earn enough, but how much is that enough? It's never enough.
Enough actually. Is never enough.
Yeah.
Because same thing, it's the appetite of human beings. Nature is like that. Human nature is like that. The appetite is never fulfilled. It's never satisfied.
So this is something that just increases.
So there'll never be, you think, okay, I just need to earn enough. The thing is, today's enough is not tomorrow's enough. Tomorrow's enough is not the next day's enough. So what could be enough right now, the moment we get that, we set a new standard of enough. It will just keep going like that. And, at the beginning, it's just to fulfill need. And eventually, it becomes to fulfill greed. We always believe, I need this and I need that. You'll find that someone who doesn't have any shoes, he says, I need shoes.
Mm.
And then the person who has shoes, now he needs name-branded shoes.
Mm.
And then someone who has name-branded shoes, he needs a vehicle. And someone who has a vehicle, he needs a more posh vehicle. Someone who has a more posh vehicle, he needs to fly, so he needs an aeroplane. And then he needs a helicopter. When will it be enough?
The desires never come.
It's never enough. And then when we got the aeroplane, that subhanAllah, aeroplanes and helicopters, that we can just move from this place to that place, enough is just never enough. It's always going to be something else. So don't think that this is such that we'll be able to fulfill it. The day we fulfill it, we will want to fulfill more.
Allahu Akbar. So, Mawlana Sahib, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, we are really grateful that Hazrat has provided so many solutions to these problems. We all are equally involved, Mawlana.
Absolutely.
And Shaitan never spares any person.
Shaitan doesn't leave me, doesn't leave
Allahu
you.
Allahu Akbar. It's human nature that we say something and the opposite happens, but koshish should always be that we should rectify our nafs.
Absolutely.
Our mehnat, our aim and objective should be turning towards Allah Azza wa Jalla. So yes, dear viewers of Madani channel, it is money, it is paisa, it is this fulus which has corrupted the minds of many. It is this money which has caused us to commit such sins and guna. And trust me, the azab of that sin is still waiting for us on the day of judgment. Accountability for this wealth which we have accumulated is awaiting us. Now, Sayyidi, the problem is that, yes, okay, we have understood many aspects of money itself. So money isn't bad. We should earn money. Yes, we all should work very hard. And work hard enough to support your family.
Mm.
Right? Make mehnat so that you don't have to stretch your hands out to the next person.
Absolutely.
This much is allowed in Islam.
And encouraged.
And you are encouraged to do that. We all should do that. It's not to say that I have tawakkul in Allah Azza wa Jalla when I said at home today I'm not going to go to work. Is that the concept, Mawlana?
Absolutely not. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam actually encouraged that we must put effort, that we must strive. Huzurikum sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't
like... It was not mentioned that we must kill for money.
Absolutely. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't like that someone sits back and doesn't earn and just begs other people, stretches his hand out.
Yes.
But at the same time, so that means we do need to earn. But at the same time, that earning should be such that it remains within the hand. This was the saying of many awliya ikram, the pious predecessors, about wealth remaining within the hand and not within the heart. Mm. The day that the wealth goes into the heart, we say, no, but it's still there, it's in the bank balance, but the mahabba and the love for it has entered the heart. When the love for it has entered the heart, now it's going to rule us.
Yeah.
Now it's going to rule us. Now it's going to take control of everything within the body. Remember, what enters the heart will take control of the rest of the body. It will flow into every little vein. It's just think of blood. Our blood goes into our heart, it flows into every vein, and because it entered the heart, that is why it's reaching the fingertips. That is why it's reaching the brain.
Yes,
that's why it's
yes.
reaching the eyes. When the mahabba, the love of Allah Ta'ala enters the heart, the same thing happens. Mm. That mahabba of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, love for your creator, enters every part of your body. And when the love for wealth, love for maal enters the heart, it's the same. Mm. It flows to every part of the body. So shaitan just tries to put the mahabba for
the
wealth in the heart.
Yes, yes.
And then it flows to every part of the body. Then as he has ruled over that heart, he gets to rule over the rest of the body.
Subhanallah. But then yet when we see a rich person who's a multi-billionaire, for example, people just usually would think, wow, imagine how would it feel to have so much of money? What not he could do with that money? He's so powerful person because he is one of the richest person on this planet. But being the richest person and having so much of power, his greatest fear must be Munasab becoming poor again.
Actually, people, I also know of many wealthy people that have this huge fear of poverty, that I don't want to go into poverty. And therefore, this concept of hoarding comes. That when we don't have it, we want it. When we want it, we don't want it to leave. But this is also bad.
It's a sickness.
When we want, that's one sickness, but then hoarding is also another sickness. This actually, it destroys that mal, it destroys the society.
It makes
as
a
well.
Person greedy, man.
It makes a person greedy, it destroys society. Just think like a river flows. Mm. As long as it's flowing, it stays clean.
Yes.
The day you put stoppage to it and it just becomes stagnant water, now it attracts all the filth, it attracts all the muck. Nobody wants to go there to drink any longer. No one wants to wash their clothes in standing water. No one wants to
take a bath
from standing water. Just like that, when Allah Ta'ala blesses us with wealth, the nature of that wealth is that it needs to flow. Some needs to come in, some needs to go to the poor. As money comes in, we need to purchase. As money comes in, we need to give in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. As long as it flows, it remains good. Everything can remain good. But the day that we decide, okay, now everything must come in, I only want an inlet, no outlet. Everything must just stay here. It's becoming stagnant. And when it becomes stagnant, it becomes dirty. Then it starts putting us into lots of trouble. The greed is in our heart. And then we look for, okay, now I have this wealth, now it's mine. How did it become ours? It's just within the system of life. Now I'm going to use it to fulfill this desire and that desire. Many a times people have that mindset. I want all this wealth to fulfill this desire, that desire, that desire. And moth comes before the desires get fulfilled.
And if that wealth is obtained through haram means, because of the greed of money. For example, my father has gone, there are a few brothers and siblings, right?
Mm.
And the powerful ones of the family hoard the inheritance.
Yes.
Whatever money was supposed to be given to the recipients, who are the heirs, they do not get that money.
Right.
Simply because of greed. So greed makes a person do the thing which he's not supposed to do, Ya Sayyidi.
Absolutely.
And we are living in a society, trust me, hundreds of people have reached Qabristan without paying their dues. Hundreds of people, justice have not been served for millions of people on the planet as yet because of this greed. Not expected from a person who was so quiet, who was so humbled, you know. What happened? What happened to this person you would suddenly hear, Mulana? It is actually the money that changes people. So
yes.
fast that you can never imagine what it can do. Yes,
that's the danger. It's a big test. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with wealth, just remember that wealth is a big test.
Mm.
When we treat it like a test, we're going to be careful when we use it. We're going to be careful when we earn it. As long as we just think, okay, no, it's only Rahman, it's only Rahman, it's only Rahman. As long as we don't get the mindset that it's a test, then we're not going to be careful
100%.
On how we earn and how we spend.
100%. In fact, I was thinking about this, right? How many awliya Allahs do you know? And we speak of, and their lives are like beacons for the rest of the world, examples, you know, that they have set and led. What wonderful aesthetic lives, teaching us khofi khuda, good akhlaq, good morals of life. Yet they were blessed with good wealth from the rahmat of Allah Azza wa Jalla.
Yes.
They had businesses, meaning the businesses that they owned 700-800 years ago, being awliyas, friends of Allah Azza wa Jalla. If today somebody owned the very same business, they would have been multi-billionaires.
Yes, yes, right? Absolutely.
But it's never famous about how much of money they made, how many ships they had, and how they did business. What was famous about them? How they read the Fajr Salah with the Isha Wuzu.
Allahu Akbar.
What's famous about them? How they by hearted 18 paras being in the womb of their mother.
Wow.
How, or many paras, whatever chapters of the Holy Quran, in general, for other awliyas as well, subhanAllah. How they performed this karamat, how they did this. It's not famous about the money, yet Allah blessed them with such wealth that they would show the ni'mat of Allah by using good clothes on their
Alhamdulillah,
bodies.
Alhamdulillah.
To show the world that this is the ni'mat of Allah Azza wa Jalla, for the pleasure of Allah. So if they wore good clothes, for the pleasure of Allah. If they were dressed in faqiri clothes, for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. They controlled their hearts. I mean, I'm just thinking about Mahmud and Ayaz, Ya Sayyidi.
Yes, yes.
And the beautiful story, when people complain to Mahmud, the king of his time, subhanAllah, that, you know, Ayaz being a servant and being close to you, he's being favoritized over others, and this is not fair. And then when this was told to the king, and then one day somebody told to the king that, see, every night he leaves the palace. Cutting the story short, once the king followed him to see where Ayaz goes at night, the king left to go and see what Ayaz is doing. The king observed that he pulled out a box and he was looking into the box for a long time. Oh, it is said that the king knocked on the door when Ayaz was inside for a long while. And when Ayaz opened the door, Allahu Akbar, he was astounded to see that the king is standing before him.
Mm.
And he asked, what is the matter? I have heard you coming here at night, and it turned out to be true that these are the hours or the timings that you usually would come here frequently. May I also learn and know what is the reason and the purpose for you to come here at this hour and time? And then he was hesitant. Finally, when he opened the box, subhanAllah, that he would come and observe and see. The king was eager to see what was inside this. And when it was opened, he found an old broken pair of sandals, torn clothes, Mulana.
Allah.
And he asked Ayaz that, what is the matter? What is this? What am I seeing here? You who is, you know, given royal clothes, or what you call, you are dressed in what a wonderful attire after being involved in the kingdom with the king. And this is your state, that you come here to observe these clothes. What do you get by this? And then he said, Ya Sayyidi, when I came to you, I came in this clothes.
Mm.
And I often remind myself, after you have given me this wonderful clothes to wear, that this is my reality. I don't want greed to enter into my heart.
Subhanallah.
I often come here to remind my nafs, myself, that, hey, Ayaz, this is your reality. You came in this.
You know, Munasa, when you are speaking, this is bringing these beautiful thoughts to mind, that Muslims have this. We thinking Ayaz had it and we don't have it. We have this opportunity every day, that no matter what luxuries we get within the world, no matter what comforts we get, no matter what food we get, no matter how people respect us and honor us and consider us to be great or high in their sights.
Subhanallah.
Every day, we come to the court of our Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we take the highest part of our body, our foreheads, and we place it on the ground, and we say, oh my Rabb, this is my reality. Oh my Rabb, no matter how much of honor I'm given, I'm your slave of Allah.
Allah,
I'm your servant of Allah.
Allah.
And as long as we keep ourselves grounded in this way, literally and figuratively, and we keep ourselves grounded, we place our head on the ground and say, oh my Rabb, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am your slave. I belong to you, oh Allah. To you I will return. All I have is that you have given me. Pride doesn't get to enter our heart. Greed doesn't get to enter our heart. Love for dunya doesn't get to enter our heart. Yes, riya, ostentation, showing off doesn't get to enter our heart. Why? Because we keep reminding ourselves, whatever I have, this is just, you know, it's an illusion here. My reality is my head upon the ground in the court of my Rabb.
Kya baat hai, Mulana. If only we can understand this reality.
Subhanallah.
Ya Sayyidi, subhanallah. And others who have understood this reality, they became ghosts of their time, Mulana.
Allah.
Others who understood this reality became gharibi nawaz, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, subhanallah. So, yes, dear viewers of the Daily Channel, you control money, but do not let money control you. When it does, then the mind and the heart both are corrupted. And when this become corrupted, one's actions are corrupted. And when the actions are corrupted, you are under wrath of Allah Azza wa Jalla. You are subjected to punishment, dear viewers of Madani Channel. And if not in the dunya, many are punished here, many in the qabr, and many in the akhirah. However, the accountability of this wealth still stands, and we're going to be accountable on the day of judgment. So, paisa kamaye, halal, rizqe halal kamaye. Try to make sure that the muscle that you eat is tayyib, it is pure, it is not from haram means. And it is not haram that you eat, whether the money was haram, through which you obtained that food, or the food itself that was purchased was haram. Try and make sure that every time you eat, it is tayyib and halal, rosy and rizq that enters your mouth. Subhanallah. And earn pure sustenance, inshallah. I have seen the barakah in pure and halal rosy, Mulana sahab, as compared to the money that just came in a way that's not supposed to come. People who earn money that way, Mulana, would see how fast and how quick that money goes.
As you're mentioning this, I remember one of my asatidah, and I'll mention his name, Mufti Abdul Nabi Hamidi Sahib, rahmatullahi ta'ala. He once told me that, subhanallah, he lived a simple life. I've seen him personally, that he was a simple person. And one day he said, I don't earn a lot. We don't earn too much. But Allah Ta'ala blessed us with such barakah that we don't see it get finished.
Allah,
we're trying to finish it. Allah, we're trying to finish it, but it's not getting finished.
Subhanallah,
Azza wa Jalla. And this just makes me think, pure hearts, simple lifestyles, trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala made it such. Allah put so much of barakah. So much of barakah. And yet there are those who have so much, but sometimes the means is not halal. There's doubtful earnings, doubtful sources, and the barakah is removed from there. And before you know it, it disappears. It is the barakah that we want. Let it be pure. Let it be halal. Be content with it. Live simple lives. Ask Allah Azza wa Jal to bless it. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, we will see barakah. Barakah inshallah, overflowing.
Inshallah, inshallah. And barakah doesn't mean, actually, for a lot of people who feel that barakat means to get more. Barakat means that if I've got one, I'll get two. If I've got two, I'll get three. Barakah in that little that you have, that will suffice you than you even imagined. Subhanallah, there are people, Mawla Sahib, that a small plate of food suffice maybe 10 people.
Subhanallah.
And this is barakah. When Allah Kareem places barakah into something, that which is little becomes abundant. Subhanallah. Mm. And others, meaning majority can benefit from something which was little in quantity, because Allah Kareem has placed barakah and blessings in that. Subhanallah. So our money actually is void of these blessings, Mawlana Sahib, and we need to gain those blessings. And how can we do that, dear viewers? Do not make earning money in this dunya your mission. This is not our maqsad. This is, by the way, you gotta earn money to survive, but place your tawakkul and your trust upon Allah Azza wa Jalla, just as Mawlana Sahib has mentioned. At the end, there are many points in your mind at the very moment. There are many issues and matters you may have faced in this dunya. People do not give respect to those who don't have money. Yes, there are many things out there that we need to rectify, all related to money itself, because money matters. Allahu Akbar. Inshallah, Mawlana, we say shukran to yourself as well for being part and parcel of this program. The Honorable Ziyad Madani Hafidhullah is with us on this program. And we have our loving viewers also with us,
mashallah,
who often watch and share. We say shukran to you as well. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Reformation of Ummah, Ummah. Reformation of Ummah, Ummah. Reformation of